And hello there, Peter Mansbridge here. You are just moments away from the latest episode of The Bridge. It's Easter weekend, and we've got a great holiday weekend. Your turn for today. Where would you like to go outside your own province for a holiday? Some great ideas coming right up. And hello there, Peter Mansbridge here in Toronto. Yeah, this is going to be a soft one today. We've had a lot of hard news in the last little while. So we're going to take it easy today. We're going to take it easy on all fronts. Your turn is your favorite holiday outside of your own province, inside Canada. We're going to give you some ideas as you kind of plot perhaps your summer, what you want to do. That's one thing. And then the random ranter goes all soft and mushy and gushy and gooey. Wait till you hear his rant today. But we're going to start with your letters. The question was simple. If you could name one place in the country outside of your own province that you'd recommend for a holiday, where would that be? We got letters. We got lots of letters again. And most of you followed the conditions. A lot of you went long, so we've had to cut them short, or we'd never get them all in. And there were a number of people who wrote, as they do every week. Some of them are in here, some aren't, because they're trying to encourage new writers. And we've got lots of them this week, lots of new writers. So let's get at it. Enough from Peter. Let's hear your turn. And a couple of apologies. There's some tricky names in here. I'll get them as best I can. Both of the writers and of the locations. Okay, some are great. I've never heard of some of them before, and I may get the pronunciation wrong, but we'll give it a rock. We'll give it a try. Donna Uez in Waterloo, Ontario. One beautiful spot we lucked upon was Tickle Cove in Newfoundland and Labrador. The red rock arch was stunning over the cove, a delightful spot for a picnic. Ben Sumac, he's actually in Costa Rica, but he's soon going to be back in Regina. Having traveled to or lived in locations from Ucluelet in BC to the Yukon to Cape Spear in Newfoundland, without a doubt, the place I would recommend is Newfoundland. It is full of history. The scenery is varied and spectacular. But what makes it my must-see is the people. Phil Weiner in Hamilton. Without a doubt, the North Shore of Prince Edward Island. The seafood church dinners, eating fresh lobster at picnic tables near the park. North Rustico and plenty of fabulous golf. And the summer weather, don't forget that. But my favorite part of PEI in the summer are the people and their kindness and natural hospitality. Lots of shout-outs for the East Coast here today. Logan Myers in Mount Stewart, PEI. Serving in the Canadian Armed Forces gave me the opportunity to see many parts of Canada, but Jasper, Alberta will always hold a special place in my heart. I've spent countless days and weeks adventuring through the foothills and mountains, hiking, camping, fly fishing, and skiing. My wife and I got engaged at the top of Whistler's Mountain and even named our youngest son after Jasper. Although we are both born and raised islanders, the mountains of Jasper feel like a second home to us. Chris Finner in Kempville, Ontario. That's just south of Ottawa. Moraine Lake, Alberta, close to Lake Louise and Banff, Alberta. Most beautiful place on earth. Snow-capped mountain peaks and an almost alien-colored blue glacier lake at their base. It was once the mountain seen on the Canadian $20 bill. I asked my wife to marry me at this amazing location, and she said yes. Katie Hurst in Sarnia, Ontario. The best place outside Ontario I've been was a cycling trip on Prince Edward Island. tip to tip, and everything in between. There's an old rail line that has been turned into a trail that cuts right across the middle of the island. This was the best way to see almost everywhere. My friend and I had to go off trail to get up to Cavendish and to the National Park, but we managed. After all, we couldn't skip a chance to see Anne. Dennis O'Sullivan in Streetsville, Ontario. That's part of Mississauga. My recommendation is the Lower St. Lawrence North Shore, about an hour drive east of Quebec City, from Bay St. Paul to La Melbaie. It is not that well known outside of Quebec, but it is grand. It's a fascinating mix of landscapes, much of it seen in the numerous art galleries of Bay St. Paul. And the highlight to me was the Parc National des Hautes Gorges de la Rivière Malbaie. Though just a half-hour drive from civilization, it has some great views from the heights, hiking, fishing, canoeing, and even biking. Escape the smoke and the heat of the cities. Travis Moore in Ottawa. In 2013, I read a CBC article about an American tourist who visited the downtown hotel in Dawson City. That's actually the name of the hotel. It's not just a downtown hotel. To partake in a unique local tradition, a shot of whiskey with a mummified human toe in it, known as the Sour Toe Cocktail. The American ended up swallowing the toe, subsequently paying the $500 fine. Swallow the toe. The following summer, I embarked on a road trip from Victoria, BC, determined to reach Dawson and experience the toe shot myself. The long journey through the Yukon on secondary highways was absolutely stunning. In the land of the midnight sun, I camped on deserted logging roads, bathed in icy rivers, and encountered black bears, grizzlies, caribou, moose, elk, and herds of buffalo in a landscape that was wild, unforgiving, rugged, and seemingly untouched. Is there any better summer vacation than the Great Canadian Road Trip? It's always the challenge of the journey that's more rewarding than the destination itself. And yes, I did take the shot, and after being told that the new fine for eating the toe was $2,500. You know what? All that's true. In fact, in 2019, in his will, some guy left all his 10 toes to the bar in the hotel. Christine Ramos in Toronto. This was an easy one. Prince Edward Island. I can't choose any specific town because they all have something unique to offer. It's truly a romantic, exciting, relaxing, and fun place to visit. There's so much to do there and so much natural beauty to take in. Whether you want to laze around on the beautiful singing sands of Basin Head or kayak through Greenwich National Park, or bring to life your high school history lessons by visiting Charlottetown's Province House and Ardgowan National Historic Site, there is something for everyone. However, my favorite memory of PEI is being embraced by complete strangers. One night at a gas station in Rollo Bay with nothing planned, my husband and I asked a local islander what there was to do for fun. He quickly pointed to us in the direction of a farm down the road. His directions led us to a barn in the middle of potato fields. As we timidly walked in, we were transported through time to what we later learned was a ceilidh. The barn was filled with the fiddle sounds of Celtic and Acadian roots music. For a few dollars, we gained access to a lifetime memory of learning how to four-step. It felt like we were crashing a private party where no one minded, offering us the best scones and tea and patiently teaching us the various group dances. It was an opportunity to really feel the warmth of the citizens of PEI. Ted Shipman in Sagan, Ontario. That's part of Parry Sound. Hands down, Grasslands National Park in Saskatchewan. I've traveled from Gros Morne in Newfoundland to Banff to Tuktoyaktuk and most places in between. And beyond, Grasslands offers hiking, camping, dinosaurs, buffalo and prairie dogs, and a big sky country. Doug McDougald in Stratford, please visit the Arctic. One of the best places is the Olavik National Park on Banks Island, which is the most western island in the Canadian Arctic and home to the most musk oxen anywhere in the world. We kayaked down the Thompson River for 2 weeks, surrounded by Arctic solitude, 24-hour sun, and the river valley teeming with musk oxen, Arctic fox and wolves, lemmings, snowy owls, and many more species of Arctic animals, birds, and fish. This park is hard to get to. It's very remote and often with fewer than 10 visitors per year, although last year they had 34. It was magical. Raj Patrowal in Bellingham, Washington. That's just south of Vancouver, right? The most memorable vacation I had in Canada was renting a car in Quebec City and driving counterclockwise around the entire Gaspé Peninsula. The southern scenic drive along La Baie de Chaleur to Percée Rock is breathtaking, with stunning landscapes, sublime scenic coastlines, mountaintop viewpoints, and crystal blue waters. The highlight of the journey is Forillon National Park. The peninsula's north coast rocky landscape along the windswept St. Lawrence is a sharp contrast to the south side's natural coves and quaint townships. To summarize, no crowds, no lines, no pollution. Catherine Benson in Toronto. I have to choose St. John's, Newfoundland as a top favorite. It's the people, the music, and the beauty. And it was one of the windiest, bumpiest, most adrenaline-pumping airplane landings I've ever experienced. A fitting metaphor for such a wild and wonderful place. Glenn Rasmussen in Ottawa. My wife and I visited Kimmerut, Nunavut, in the 1990s on a cruise from Greenland to Churchill, Manitoba. We tendered ashore in Zodiacs as the inlet was very shallow and there were no bocking facilities large enough for the ship. Once ashore, we dumped our life jackets and rubber boots on the beach and prepared to set out to explore the community. While changing into our hiking boots, a young boy, perhaps 8 years old, approached us and started to play with the life jackets. Eventually, he decided to try to put them all on at the same time. After about 8 or 10 jackets, he was starting to look like the Michelin man, as the jackets were a bit bulky. I recall the cheek-to-cheek smile he had on his face the entire time. Even to this day, I occasionally recall that event, and it always brings me fond memories and a smile to my face. Patrick Talon in L'Original, Ontario, on the Ottawa River, close to the Quebec border. Banff, Alberta is my favorite place to visit in Canada. Golf, cycling, hiking, fishing, horseback riding in summer. Winter skiing and trekking at Lake Louise. Sunshine and Mount Norquay in the winter. Included in the town are a wide range of accommodation options, dining options, and nightlife, all within walking distance of the town center. Adam Dufour in Calgary. My vote is Whitehorse, Yukon. The town itself is surprisingly vibrant in the summer months with lots of nice places to shop and eat. But the reason everybody goes up there is to experience some of the most beautiful nature anywhere in the world. Travel in any direction out of the city and you find towering mountains that meet torrenting rivers and turquoise lakes, all amidst a seemingly endless expanse of untouched wilderness. The best part is that the days are long in the summer, so you can make the most of a short time there. Karen Chassels in Guelph, Ontario. The best place I've ever visited in Canada outside of my province is Mount Robson, the highest point in the Canadian Rockies. The experience was absolutely magical. We took the trail to Berg Lake, passing many waterfalls, including Emperor Falls, along the way. The trail was challenging and rugged, but absolutely breathtaking. We camped there overnight and then did a number of day hikes, including the trail to Snowbird Pass. All the trails we hiked were beautiful, but this was probably the most memorable. We hiked along a rock ledge up above a river and then turned to continue through a mountain meadow that was at the time a mass of wildflowers. Then we had to scramble up Scree, a mass of small loose stones that covers a slope on the mountain, to the pass, where we were treated to the most incredible view of the surrounding mountains and a glacier. I could go on and on about this adventure, but I'll stop here to keep it somewhat short. Matthew Skolarczyk in Vernon, B.C. A few years ago, my wife and I went on an East Coast vacation. Our favorite destination was Cape Breton Island. The people are some of the warmest and welcoming we have ever met. Our bed and breakfast was in a house over a century old that still used skeleton keys to lock the doors. The highway meanders through rolling hills of deciduous trees that change colors from green to yellow to orange and red as the summer ages into fall. Cape Breton Island found a moment in time to exist and stayed there. Canada can fill you with a lifetime of wonder and awe, and you don't even need a passport. Brian Hatton in Buckhorn, Ontario, just north of Peterborough. The best place in Canada outside of my home province would have to be Resolute Bay, Nunavut. In August 2011, sadly, a plane crashed while trying to land. As a result, I and a few others from my company were brought in to clean up the fuel spill. I lost a good friend in that crash, Marty Bergman. Great friend, great Canadian. While there, I was able to experience my many things about Canada's will, Canadians will not have access to, such as 24 hours of sunlight and watching whales hunt fish along the shoreline. I had the feeling of time slowing down. People there move at a slower pace. You don't have the feeling of a rush to get everything done right now. No, it's more, I'll get to it when I can, they say. Rhonda Mathers in Brandon, Manitoba. My favorite place to visit is Nova Scotia. I just love meandering along the boardwalk in Halifax with its buskers, Celtic music, boats, and beautiful ocean scenery. The food is to die for. I love lobster. I'll say. Muriel Sainer in Waterloo, Ontario. The place I recommend is Tadoussac, Quebec. It's a small village east of Saguenay on the St. Lawrence River. The confluence of the Saguenay and St. Lawrence Rivers provides prime conditions for whale watching at its best. When I was there, I experienced 5 whale species on a 2-hour whale watch. John McCaskill in Montreal. Without question, the best place to visit in Canada is Prince Edward Island. I've been fortunate enough to marry into an annual trip to the island, as my partner's family has a quaint, no-frills cottage in Cavendish. Well, I haven't explored the whole island yet, but plan to. I'm convinced you can't go wrong anywhere you stay, as it's easy and worth exploring. James McKenzie in Victoria. The best vacation spot in Canada outside my province is Amherst Shore, Nova Scotia. This lovely spot has ocean views where you can see across the Northumberland Strait to PEI and New Brunswick's Cape Tormentine, or Tyne. The beach has the warmest waters I've swum in north of the Caribbean, and when the tide is out, there are kilometers of soft, red sandbars to stroll along and tide pools to explore. Perfect for letting kids run around and keeping an eye on them without having to leave the comfort of a beach chair and your book. Marilyn Wallace in good old Fanny Bay, British Columbia. As you drive across the sweeping, wide Saskatchewan prairie northwest of Regina, you can find one of Canada's most uniquely unforgettable natural wonders. Little Manitou Lake has long been a place of healing for Indigenous peoples, as the high mineral concentration bubbling up from an underground spring is known to rejuvenate achy muscles and joints. The intense buoyancy of the water is created by a salinity level that is about 5 times that of the ocean, which makes it impossible for anyone to sink. I've never known a deeper sense of relaxation than I experienced at Little Manitou Lake. That sounds great. Steve Abba in Toronto. My nominee is Grossmorne, Newfoundland. The 8Fs, fabulous fun. The local people are such enjoyable company. Fantastic fjord. Western Brook Pond, a Canadian icon. It's a hike to the boat, but wheelchair accessible and worth every step. Flavorful food. Don't miss out on the lobster, the scallops, the shrimp. Every restaurant is a winner. Fancy footing. Walk to the Earth's core at Tablelands. Can't fit the lighthouses, the cliffs, the overall natural beauty into my F theme, but they are there too. Linda McAlpine in Ottawa. Two summers ago, my husband and I traveled to Grand Manan Island in New Brunswick. What a great road trip. The ferry ride to the island is a whale-watching trip in itself. The chowder on board was excellent. We camped in a delightful place with a multitude of bunnies hopping around the place. We hiked a great deal of the coastal trail. Wonderful food and friendly people, and did I mention the views and sunsets? Just go. Shannon Bradley Green in Cochrane, Alberta. I'm going to pick camping at Petter Bay on Vancouver Island. There are campsites right on the bay, and it's also close to the wonderful Galloping Goose biking trail, which is truly breathtaking in terms of the forest and ocean. Lindsay Ross in Sydney, Nova Scotia. I'd like to suggest Quebec City as a great summer vacation spot. When I was in university, my mother and I took a weekend trip there. We saw a fireworks competition in front of the waterfalls at Parc de la Chute Montmorency, Cirque du Soleil under an overpass, and strolled beautiful old Quebec. We took the long way home on the far side of the Gulf of St. Lawrence via ferry and saw beluga whales. Both relaxing and exciting, I have very fond memories of that trip and cannot recommend Quebec City enough. Lenny Hochberg in Toronto, Ontario. A fabulous place to visit in this wonderful country is Souris, Manitoba. It's a little place off the beaten path, maybe 20 or 30 minute drive from the Trans-Canada Highway. It's home to Canada's longest swinging suspension bridge. There's a fantastic rock shop that one can visit and get advice and directions to the local rock quarry and agate pit. And peacocks roam free all over Souris. When you see all the colorful peacocks, it will blow your mind. One more before we take our halfway break. I have to go, this is Daryl Gish in Moose Jaw. I have to go with Cypress Hills. I know this vote can be disqualified since it's in Saskatchewan, my home, but it's in Alberta as well. That's true. I find it incredible that it was not covered by ice during the last ice age, leaving an ecosystem intact that has survived to this day. An ecosystem with the same flora and fauna found along the foothills of the Rockies. Perhaps its elevation is a savior to the lodgepole pine, for this species does not go very far east in the northern boreal. And the fall colors throughout the rolling slopes. Wow. Isn't this amazing? People travel around the world, and good for them that they have that opportunity. But there's so much to see here. So much to see here. Going to take a quick break. But we'll come back. Lots more letters. And the random ranter. As I said, this is a different kind of ranter. He's all soft and gooey. He's all mushy. He's a happy man. This week. Right here on the bridge. Coming right back after this. And welcome back. You're listening to The Bridge right here on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks, or on your favorite podcast platform. Back to your letters for this week's Your Turn. The question was, outside of your own province, what's your favorite vacation inside Canada? Where was it? And why did you like it so much? And we've had lots of great answers here already. So here we go as we enter this Easter weekend. Kelly Garner in Ucluelet, one of the prettiest places in the country, let me tell you. So where do you go if you're in Ucluelet on the west coast of Vancouver Island? I nominate the Canadian Badlands, says Kelly, including Drumheller, Alberta, and the Dinosaur Provincial Park. The Canadian Badlands have canyons, hoodoos, cacti, visible sedimentary layers, all things we don't tend to associate with our nation. The Royal Tyrrell Museum in Drumheller tells the fascinating story of how Canada's physical landscape has changed over time, with the ideal conditions to preserve not only fossils but tissue of dinosaurs during the large-scale extinction. Many of these are on display within its walls. Just outside of town, you can hike at Horse Thief Canyon. Further hiking opportunities exist at the Dinosaur Provincial Park, a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Whether you're a dinosaur science enthusiast or not, the Badlands are a must-see. Nicole Bienvenue. Okay, we're not quite sure where she lives now. She said she's originally from Montreal, but there's a hint she may live in BC now. Whatever the case is, her favorite spot, Peggy's Cove in Nova Scotia, where you'll find the memorial for Flight 111. You remember Swiss Air Flight 111? It was on a flight from, I think, New York to Geneva. Crashed September 2nd, 1998, killing all 229 people on board. The investigation determined that faulty wires caused the plane's flammable insulation to catch fire. Anyway, there's the famous lighthouse at Peggy's Cove. That area feels so peaceful by the Atlantic Ocean. More of us need to visit our great country and be proud to be Canadian. Mary McCallum in Pictou, Nova Scotia. I would have to say it's Fernie, BC. It has the best of both worlds in summer or winter. It's nestled in the mountains in the Kootenay region. Activities like mountain biking, hiking, fishing in the summer, and just as much to do in the winter. It's a city, but has a small town feel. Great coffee shops, the best dog park I've ever seen, restaurants, and breathtaking views. Derek Dillabo in Ottawa. The place that comes to mind for me is Nelson, BC, nestled in the Selkirk Mountains in southern BC and on the crisp, cool Kootenay Lake. Nelson is a charming town that feels like a home away from home. It's kind of a hippie town, kind of. Oh, yeah. Where many Vietnam draft dodgers settled in the 70s, and it's kept that sort of vibe, and its beauty is unquestioned. Bob Dunn in Calgary. Most beautiful place in Canada is the recently completed Fundy Trail Parkway in New Brunswick. Spectacular views along the 3-kilometer highway, packed with hiking trails, beautiful inlets, and gorges, geologically interesting beaches, and the highest tides in the world. Close to historic St. John and next door to the quaint village of St. Martin's. I'm not sure if I want to recommend people go there or just save it for myself. Susan King, Ajax, Ontario, just east of Toronto. If I had to pick somewhere outside of my home province to spend time, it would have to be somewhere with a paddle in the waters around Tofino, BC. The entire area is so fresh and wild, and spending any time at all in the Clackawatt area will shrink some of your nerves and anxiety. Salt water, seaweed, seals, and salmon dinners is all perfect. Mary Newcomb in Cumberland, BC. That's also on Vancouver Island. Without any doubt, my favorite place outside of BC is Lunenburg, Nova Scotia. Lunenburg is the home port of the world-famous racing schooner Blue Nose 2. The Fisheries Museum of the Atlantic is a must, along with the Fisherman's Memorial, and award-winning restaurants with the best seafood ever. It just doesn't get better. Alan Bell in Ottawa. The best place my wife and I ever went on vacation with our kids was Carpoon Island in Newfoundland. It's on the very northern tip of Newfoundland. Nobody lives on the island, so you stay in a house where the lighthouse keeper used to live. The two couples that worked there kept you fed and comfortable. But other than that you were on your own to explore the island, enjoying the beautiful views of the ocean and the incredible treeless landscape. My wife and I went there for 3 nights with our two kids who were 11 and 13 at the time, and they loved it. No Wi-Fi, no video games, but they actually thought it was fantastic. Warren Boyd in Oshawa, Ontario. In my 20s, I started traveling Canada for work. We mainly drove everywhere we went, and we drove to some of the far outposts of Canada. Labrador City, Yellowknife, Vancouver Island. While I really enjoyed driving, the best part was staying in small-town Canada for 2 to 4 months at a time and really immersing ourselves in the communities and meeting the people. While I always looked forward to going home when the job was done, there's one place that was always stuck with me to this day. New Minas, Nova Scotia, in the Annapolis Valley. This place is truly a hidden gem. The people, the culture, the history, not to mention the great pubs and restaurants serving farm-fresh food and locally brewed beer. I promise you will fall in love. Alex Makel, or Michael, in Chennai, Ontario. That's near Thunder Bay. My favorite Canadian destination is the James Bay neighborhood in Victoria, cherished not only for the beauty of Vancouver Island, but also for its walkability. I explore in different directions. Heading west leads me to nearby grocery stores, shops, coffee houses, and restaurants. To the south, I relish the breathtaking ocean views. Walking north brings me to the picturesque Inner Harbor and Parliament buildings, while heading east leads me to Fisherman's Wharf. I make 2 trips here annually, sometimes to visit family and at other times to escape from family. David Lapine in Ogden, Quebec City. On the Vermont border, on the shores of Lake Memphremagogag. In the eastern townships. In the summer of 1970, I spent 3 months in the high Arctic aboard the Coast Guard icebreaker John A. MacDonald. I was a young officer cadet in the Canadian Navy doing summer training between my 3rd and 4th years at university. The highlight of the trip was sailing through Hecate Strait on through Norwegian Bay to Eureka and to the head of Tankery Fjord. I was in the Northwest Territories then. Now it's in Nunavut. If you can get there, you'll be rewarded by the most incredible scenery anywhere, a vacation of a lifetime, never to be forgotten. Eureka used to be one of those dew-line stations up in the high Arctic in the 50s and 60s. I traveled there in the 60s. And believe me, there wasn't much there then. Lisa Woodfine in the Gatineau. Occasionally thought of as the drive-through province with little scenery along the highway, there are many gems to be explored in New Brunswick. My favorites among many beautiful locations are Miscou Island Lighthouse in the Acadian Peninsula, where I got my first look at the Aurora Borealis, and anywhere along the rugged Fundy coastline, such as Cape Engage, Mary's Point, Fundy Trail Parkway, and Slacks Cove. Derek Forsyth in Edmonton. Grand Manan Island is the place I'd recommend as a place to visit if you're looking for a great place to unplug and unwind. It's tucked away in the Bay of Fundy off the southwest corner of New Brunswick and can be accessed only via an hour and a half ferry ride from Black's Harbor. It's a great place to hike, cycle, walk the beaches, or dig into your summer reading list in a time when the world seems to be moving faster and faster. I think it's important to find a quiet place to charge the batteries, take in the spectacular views, and sample some amazing local cuisine. Saeed Sayedan in Toronto. If I have to name one place, that would be the Icefield Parkway through Jasper National Park and Banff National Park in Alberta. I was amazed by the countless activities and natural beauties that were offered along the highway. Exhilarating hiking trails and gondola rides, turquoise lakes and waterfalls, old towns and architectures, Athabasca Glacier, Columbia Skywalk, natural habitats such as bears, elk, and deer, you name it. Terry Waslinka in Regina. Some of my favorite vacations took place when I lived in Vancouver in the 90s. It's where I met my wife. We spent much of our free time visiting BC's provincial parks. We would throw our pup tent and sleeping bags in the car and hit the road. I was amazed by the variety of wonderful spots within a couple of hours of the city. It was incredible for a prairie boy. The ocean, mountains, old-growth forests, but I especially loved the Gulf Islands. Each island seemed to have at least one gem. They were unlike any other parks I had ever visited, especially Montague Harbor on Galliano Island. It had a tiny walk and a campground overlooking the harbor. There were often fire bands, but these made the park even better. The night would be pitch black with the only light coming from the sailboats moored in the harbor below. It was magical. It's been years, but I can still picture it like it was yesterday. I'm sure it's changed over the years, but if it only is half as nice as it used to be, then it's well worth the visit. Spencer Stinson in Blenheim, Ontario. The summer between my grades 11 and 12, my family took the full summer to drive all the way to Vancouver Island via northern Ontario and across the prairies. Of this whole trip, I'd recommend the hike around Mount Assiniboine in BC, guided or unguided, depending on your skill level. I still remember the first night hearing this booming crash throughout the night. The next morning, I asked the guide, what the heck was that? And he said it was a massive chunk of the glacier at the base of the mountain crashing into the lake during the summer thaw. I can honestly say 20-plus years later, I've never heard anything like that again. Julie Rind in Calgary. One of the best places I traveled to was the Yellowhead Highway in BC, from Smithers to Terrace to Prince Rupert. It's gorgeous, untouched wilderness. The biggest surprise was the Nisga Memorial Lava Bed Provincial Park, a gorgeous drive through a lava field from a volcanic eruption around the year 1700. Lakes, a drowned forest, waterfalls, all within the lava field. It was just really cool. Nancy Abba in Toronto. My favorite place in Battle Harbour, Newfoundland and Labrador. Remote and definitely off the beaten path. It's a 9-mile journey by ferry from Mary's Harbour in Labrador. A mercantile saltfish premise was established there between 1770 and 1775. And operated until around 1992. It's a living museum with numerous buildings, more than 200 years old, many restored, hiking paths, seasonal icebergs, fabulous views, lovely accommodations, and wonderful, friendly people. Harold Smith in Thompson, Manitoba. I recommend the town of Waskasoo in Prince Albert National Park, Saskatchewan. Beautiful lake and long sandy beach right beside a lovely resort town with a rich history. Camp in Beaver Glen Campground or stay in one of the resorts in town. Try your hand at fishing for walleye. That's pickerel. Call it walleye out west. Central Canada's best tasting sport fish. Hear, hear. Bruce Armstrong in Port Dover, Ontario, north shore of Lake Erie, about an hour from Hamilton. The Onion Bay region in the northernmost part of Newfoundland is home to some of the friendliest people anywhere. It boasts a beautiful view of Labrador and the North Atlantic, where you may see icebergs even during the summer months. The walking trails are rugged yet provide stunning displays of nature at its finest. And do not be surprised if you sight a moose or two at close range. For the history buffs, a visit to the ancient village of Lanceau Meadow is a must, where knowledgeable guides will recount the early days of the Vikings and a village constructed nearly 100 years ago. I think we're talking 1,000 years ago, right? This area is not a tourist trap, and it's a long way from anywhere, but well worth the effort. Frank Wang in Surrey, BC. For one to have a truly life-changing experience, I believe they need to see something big, I mean really big. Normally, I'd say, go see the Rockies. But as I'm from BC, my out-of-province pick would be Niagara Falls. When you see the massive span of the falls, the thundering sounds, and the huge plumes of mist, it instantly fills you with a sense of awe. Gigantic natural wonders like this give you perspective on just how small you are on this earth. Just two letters left. And I think in their simplicity, they sum up in many ways what most people here today had to say. Gordon Shepherd in Collingwood, Ontario writes, "The best place to visit in Canada is anywhere you can afford to get to. We are privileged to live in a country that is beautiful and diverse from coast to coast to coast." You got that right, Gordon. And here's the other one. Barry Hoffman in Burlington, Ontario writes, "So hard to narrow down to just one. So I'll push the envelope here. Tofino, British Columbia, and Petty Harbor, Newfoundland. No explanation required. If you know, you know. If you don't know, look at a map." As I said, there were more letters here. These are the ones I picked to read today. But when you look at all the letters that we got this week, here are the top three provinces. Okay, there are lots of different locations, but in the top three provinces that were picked, number three was Nova Scotia. Number two was British Columbia. And number one, Newfoundland and Labrador. You know, it's hard to get to all the places in our country. My job has allowed me to do that, to get to all the provinces, live in some of them, but certainly visit all of them and the territories. We had letters representing choices for each province, each territory. Number one was Newfoundland, Labrador. I've been lucky. I don't know how many times I've been to Newfoundland, Labrador. Usually on work or giving speeches or going to Mark Critch's wedding a couple of years ago. And it really is fantastic. But somebody in one of these letters made the point earlier that all of these places are not just great places to visit because of their natural beauty and the excitement surrounding the physical location. It's the people. It's the Canadians who live there. They're so welcoming. Listen, do we have polarization problems on issues? Yeah, absolutely. But at our core, we're Canadian. And it's days like this and hearing from you on your choices that make you feel so good about the country. We've got issues, but as our history shows, we will eventually deal with them. All right. I did say we have the random ranter because it is Thursday, but I'll tell you, this is a different kind of random ranter than the one we're used to. Enough from me. Let's hear from him. Here we go. This week's random ranter.
Look, I realize lately that I've become somewhat less of a random ranter and more of a predictable ranter. EVs, the environment, politicians, carbon tax, blah, blah, blah. So burnt toast, doctor, here's a light one out of left field. Canadiana, or more precisely, the Canadiana gleamed by growing up in front of a TV that had all of three channels, and two of them were kind of bad. But that said, I've got nothing but great memories from it. I mean, to this day, I can't count to 12 without doing it Sesame Street style. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then there were the National Film Board vignettes. If you don't remember them or you're too young, take the time to Google it. They're fantastic. Not only did I learn about my country from them, but they gave me a passion for all things Canadian. From those singing Cape Breton coal miners to the log driver's waltz, they exposed me to a wider version of being Canadian than what I had just growing up on the prairies. And they stuck with me for the most part. I mean, I still don't know what liver pills are, but I do know Bill Miner was the first person to say hands up. I know he robbed a train, and I totally remember the last line. Hands up, said the sergeant. Hands up. They're great, and for the most part, those vignettes were ahead of their time. They were inclusive and often super creative, maybe sometimes a little too creative. I mean, if you ever want proof there were some hardcore 70s hallucinogens going on at the NFB, just watch the Flin Flon vignette. It's a weird one, but I do remember visiting the statue of Flintabetti Floniton on a family trip to Flin Flon, and I was excited to do it. But it wasn't just kids' programs and vignettes on those three channels. There were a lot of sports, very Canadian sports, and it's those sports that stuck with me to this day. I'm talking about hockey, CFL football, and especially curling. There was just something about the way they were presented. I mean, there was very little hype, and the voices were all pretty unique. I know for some people, the voice of sports would be Dick Irvin or Bob Cole or Danny Gallivan, but for me, it was always Don Whitman. Maybe that's my Western bias showing, but Whitman was the voice of everything. I mean, if the CBC had televised the Tiddlywinks tournament, they'd have tapped Don Whitman for the play-by-play. It was his voice that introduced me to Canadian sports. And to this day, I still love them. I'm CFL all the way. And curling? Well, how could you not love something that was born of knitwear and corn brooms? It's all part of the Canadian experience, or at least my Canadian experience. And I love it. So good luck to the Gushu rink at the Worlds. I love being a Canadian, and I hope you do too.
Well, there you go, the Random Ranter with his take for this holiday weekend. Doesn't that make you feel all soft and bubbly inside? Well, I hope you do. I hope you have a great weekend coming up. Tomorrow, on the Good Friday edition of Good Talk, it's the program we packaged last week. Hasn't been aired yet. It's the program we packaged last week in front of a live audience at the Chateau Laurier in downtown Ottawa, with the help of the Carleton University Political Management course. Their questions, our answers. Hope you enjoy it. That's tomorrow. I'm Peter Mansbridge. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you again. Well, on tape tomorrow, but then next on Monday. Take care. Have a great weekend.